from KQED.
This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Point Mulati in Richmond was once a Navy refueling station and a wine port, but is now a potential site for a Las Vegas-style casino to be managed by the Giddyville Band of Pomo Indians. Though the $1.2 billion proposal also would include two hotels, a 122,000-square-foot conference center, restaurants, shops, tribal facilities, and a shoreline trail, debate has centered on the proposed 124,000-square-foot gaming floor. And next week, there will be a public hearing and a vote by the City Council to certify the environmental impact report. The project also will require City Council approval, apart from the EIR certification, and federal approval from the Department of the Interior. Last November, 58% of Richmond residents voted down Proposition U, a non-binding measure asking residents if they were in support of the casino resort plan. And in this forum half-hour segment, we take up the debate once more. Joining us in studio is Jim Levine. He's managing partner of Upstream LLC, the developer in favor of the casino project. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the program. David Helvarg also with us, Richmond resident, author of Citizens for a Sustainable Point Mulati. That's his organization. Welcome, David Helvarg.
Morning, Michael.
Glad to have you both with us. Jim Levine, let me begin with you, and let's begin by talking about why this is important. I mean, certainly from the perspective of Richmond residents, there's a lot of talk about jobs. There's a lot of talk about money that would come in, revenue that would come in. How many jobs, and would they be for Richmond residents, first of all?
Yes. Well, as you know, redeveloping a military base is hugely expensive and hugely difficult. Just look around the bay, and you can see the troubles that people have had in doing so. We were asked to try to bring a project into Richmond that would generate literally thousands of jobs and hundreds of millions of dollars of local economy for the community. And in putting this partnership together with the Giddyville Band, we come up with a resort project that would, by the ferry linkages to San Francisco, be able to bring a lot of new money into the area. And we're talking about new tourism and both into San Francisco and new tourism and entertainment visits to the East Bay. So we're talking about, and the independent studies verify this, there are 4,500 on-site jobs. We signed an agreement with the city that would reserve 40% of those jobs for Richmond residents. We've already agreed to living wage ordinance. We've agreed to union jobs, union construction
also
jobs.
Done a lot of green technology in this whole proposal.
This will be the greenest project ever built. We're talking about a gray water treatment system. We're talking about 2 megawatts of solar, recycling, things that normal developments just can't do. And people who are in development know that when you're building office buildings and shopping centers, you know, the financial people behind it don't let you spend a lot of extra money on those things. In this case, the Giddyville Band, you know, they were the first environmentalists, and there's an opportunity to do something amazing here. And they really have jumped at the chance. And I think, you know, if people would take the time to really understand what it is and not, I think there's an inclination to put things in a box, to use shorthand. This is the casino, and everybody has their own view of what that is. But I think
you're saying it's more than a casino. You're saying it's really, I think the word that's been used is a homeland.
It really is. It's a new homeland.
Cultural center is
a new homeland for the Giddyville tribe. You know, they were illegally terminated by the United States. They are due a new homeland. They're following the legal federal process to find one. You know, it's not a new theme that when
this is not currently Indian land, though.
It's not currently Indian land, but
so that has to be approved by the feds.
Has to be approved by the federal government. That's right. And you know, when Indians when their land was taken away, there's a federal process for finding new land, and it's not an easy thing to do. And so, you know, the tribe is trying to follow that process and trying to present a project that has a lot of benefits for everybody.
Again, Jim Levine is managing partner of Upstream LLC, the developer in favor of this project that we're talking about in Richmond. David Helvarg is a Richmond resident, an author, and member of the Citizens for a Sustainable Point Mulati. First off, from the perspective of a longtime environmentalist, I guess your concern has a lot to do with just how beautiful this area is. You don't want to see it develop?
Well, it's stunning. I mean, this is the last 422 acres of undeveloped headlands on San Francisco Bay, and a friend's rightly put it, he says, the most beautiful part of the bay nobody's ever heard of. And I think that what the citizens of Richmond have clearly indicated,
one of the last underdeveloped shorelines on the bay as well.
It is. Yeah. It's the last great headlands, and it's got the largest offshore eelgrass beds. And it's a real treasure. And I think that what Richmond residents want is what's happened to other former military bases like the Presidio and Fort Baker and Marin. We think that we have the makings of a world-class public park that could serve the citizens of Richmond. And that was indicated in the recent election. I mean, elections do have consequences. It was interesting. There was about 450,000 put out by card rooms and other Indian gaming interests opposed to this mega casino. I mean, the developers keep talking about it as an eco-resort and eco-village, but it would be the largest casino this side of Vegas in terms of 4,000 slot machines, 7-story parking structure, and parking for over 7,500 vehicles.
The developers also say that the opposition put the question on the ballot and that there was no EIR report. There now is an EIR report.
The opposition was, in terms of funding, it was interesting. There was, as I say, 450,000 in opposition by the card rooms. The developer spent, I believe, over $500,000 and putting up billboards saying visiting the destination resort. Interestingly, Chevron also put $1 million into the election supporting three candidates who were not only friendly with Chevron, but had been part of this pro-casino majority. And when the election took place, that $1.5 million was spent essentially for candidates who would have supported this this casino and have in the past. When the election took place, 58% of Richmond citizens voted that Richmond deserves something better, that just because it's a community that's been poor, that's historically been discriminated against, that Richmond deserves the same level of public park and publicly owned working facilities that you see in the Presidio. You have a historic village in Point Mulati like you do in the Presidio. And Point Mulati's got a history. I mean, I think it was the major wine port, and then it became a Navy petroleum depot. So in terms of alcohol and petroleum, maybe gambling would be the next logical step in terms of human addictions. But in terms of a world-class facility, the people of Richmond voted. And they voted in 2 years ago. You had a 5-2 majority on the city council in favor of the gambling casino development. Today, it's 5-2 against, 5-2 that favors a better vision for Richmond and turning this headland into something at the level of a third jewel of Bayfront parks like the Presidio, like Fort Baker.
Let me just make listeners aware that next week when the public hearing takes place, if there's certification of the environmental impact report, it still doesn't necessarily mean that the project will go ahead. It's been a long process with this project, to put it mildly. But Jim Levine, 5-2 sounds like the odds are against you. And also, I guess your argument would be that there was when the vote went on for Proposition U last November, there was no EIR report yet?
Well, clearly, public agencies are not allowed to make project decisions until the EIR is done and until the facts are on the table. And this was just purely a political strategy of the opponents of the project to put something on the ballot, to just use the word casino, to not let the people understand what the choices really are. This is not an undeveloped shoreline. I think David said that it was. It isn't. There's 80 acres of development. There's buildings with lead and asbestos. There is no other funding to deal with those. They are crumbling. There are significant, what the report EIR says is that there are significant unmitigable environmental impacts if you don't do anything. Those historic resources will go away without real funding.
I'm going to ask David Helvark about that. You're cleaning up the place. I mean, this is certainly important, not only for historical preservation, but environmental purposes.
Absolutely. And there's a historic village. There's a $27 million fund the Navy provided. There's you look at another example like Treasure Island, which also has a lot of the same problems. And it's been slow developing. And yet I don't think anybody in San Francisco is seriously upset that years ago Mayor Agnew shot down a proposal to build a big casino development there. I think that the better model is right across the bay with Fort Baker, where there was, where there's a world, as I say, this is our last great headlands, and it's got a historic village. It has problems that need to be addressed. And like with the Presidio, they could be addressed in the public domain. This could be kept as a public
Let me give out a phone number because I know listeners are wanting – this is a shorter segment, of course, since we spent the first half hour talking about Libya. And I know listeners may want to get involved and register their own concerns. There's been a lot of arguments on both sides. You have jobs and revenue coming in, obviously. You have the environmental concerns on the other side as well as concerns about traffic and what gaming can bring in the way of perhaps crime and all of that. I mean, these have been pretty well outlined as the controversy has germinated and taken place. And like I said, it's been a long process. If you'd like to join us, please feel free to do so. Our toll-free number is available to you. It's 866-733-6786. We do welcome your calls. Again, toll-free 866-733-6786. You can also send an email to us, our email address, forum@kqed.org, or post a question or comment on our website simply by going to kqed.org/forum and clicking on this segment. And we are going to go to your calls and emails. I wanted to bring a few other voices in here, though. Michael Derry is the CEO of the Giddyville Tribe. He joins us here. And Michael Derry, good to have you aboard here. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
One of the big questions that's come up is, well, there are some, for example, there's a Manchester Point area band of Pomo, your tribe leader, who said that the historic connection is not to the land in Contra Costa for the Giddyville tribe, it's to Mendocino. And there seems to be some question about, well, that. So let me get you on record on that, if I may.
Actually, there is a tribal chairperson from Manchester Point Arena that is not associated with the Giddyville tribe at all, that has the opinion that this is not the tribe's historical connection, but that's not true. The tribe has a strong historical connection to the area. We demonstrated that to the federal government by submitting over 5,000 pages of evidence to that regard. We wouldn't have gone out and spent $30 million on this process so far and $16.5 million to the city of Richmond if we didn't know that we met all the federal requirements to transfer the land into trust and to use it for our tribe's new homeland. We just wouldn't have done that.
So you feel fairly secure that the Department of Interior will indeed go along
absolutely.
With this? Yeah.
Absolutely.
And go along with your right to the land is really what I'm asking.
Yes, absolutely. We meet all of the federal requirements to undertake this process. It's long and it's slow. But, you know, everybody has, everyone has an opinion, but you have to dig deep into the tribe's historic documents to establish this historical connection. Nobody else has access to that information except the tribal government and the federal government we submitted. So there's a lot of people that have opinions about whether the tribe does or does not. And I think the other thing people get confused about is the tribe has a Pomo name. But that's not the makeup of the tribe at all. They're a combination, if you look at the lineages, it's a combination of Patwin, Wapo, Costanoan, Pomo, and Miwok people. And it's not uncommon for tribes to be mixed, given the history of California at all. And so while they have a Pomo name, you know, all of those groups, those tribal groups that I just mentioned, used and occupied the Bay Area for thousands of years, tens of thousands of years before anyone else showed up. So, you know, we're comfortable with the historic connection. We think we meet all of the federal requirements, and, you know, eventually the federal government will You're put their opinion on that as well.
Confident that the tribe will be able to prove its ties to the region. I'm hearing you, and Michael Derry, again, CEO of the Giddyville Tribe. What about the argument, just like to get you on record on this too, if I could quickly, that approval of this will unleash a whole new bunch of gambling places or attempts to get gambling places in rural areas that, in other words, you'll find, I think, what some have called reservation shopping will suddenly spread endemically.
Yeah, that is a false premise, sort of spread by anti-casino people. The standards for getting land into trust for tribes, especially tribes after 1988, are so very, very, very high. The law has been on the books for 23 years since 1988, and since that time, only 5 tribal casinos have been approved. For what's called the two-part determination, which is not us. That clearly is reservation shopping. But under the federal law, there's a portion of the law that's called restored lands for tribes like Giddyville that were wrongfully terminated by the federal government and then subsequently restored to federal recognition.
Michael Derry again.
There's only a handful of tribes that can do that, so it will not create any epidemic whatsoever.
All right. Michael Derry again, a CEO of the Giddyville Tribe, and thank you so much for joining us. We want to also have Joan Garrett join us, who is a member of the Citizens for a Sustainable Point Mulati. They're a grassroots organization opposing construction of a casino. Joan Garrett, good to have you here. Good morning.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
Why are you opposed?
Well, I think in the past couple of years, people have become educated about what's underneath the covers of this proposed development. And speaking to Michael Derry's assertions, this is actually a pretty egregious case of reservation shopping. The tribe has looked at properties in Antioch, Hercules, and elsewhere. So the claim that there's a great connection to Point Mulati is fairly false. And although there may be 5,000 pages that they've submitted to the BIA, there's probably 50,000 pages around the body of knowledge that this area historically belongs to the Ohlone. And I think that if the Giddyville were to disgorge the study that they had put together, it would be of great interest to archaeological professionals within the area.
Senator Feinstein and Senator Boxer and others are in opposition to this project. In fact, Senator Feinstein said it's a bad deal for Richmond. Why is it a bad deal in light of the fact that you'd have thousands of jobs and so much more revenue coming into the city?
Well, again, it's looking under the covers. It's great to make a blanket statement that 40% of all jobs will go to Richmond, but then you have to look underneath of whether or not those jobs, in fact, are guaranteed. And I think in a court proceeding last year, it became clear that indeed they are not guaranteed. That's piece one. Piece two.
Excuse me, you mean they could hire somebody on Monday and fire them on Friday?
Correct. And piece two is qualifications. There are certain levels of standards that must be met to work at casinos, and there's a great question whether the unemployed population within Richmond at the moment can match those requirements. And I think the other thing you have to look at is to make a true integrated economic analysis, one needs to look at not just gross revenue coming in, but A, where does it go at the end of the day? And in this case, the bulk of it would be leaving not only Richmond, but the county itself. And B, what's the aftermath? I mean, for every dollar in revenue received, what's the aftermath in terms of social service strains problems presented to people's lives who may become engrossed with the gambling world? Those costs are tremendous, both personally to families, to communities, and to the social services that taxpayers are putting forward.
Joan Garrett, again, is a member of the Citizens for a Sustainable Point Mulati. They're a grassroots organization of opposition to the construction of the casino project. Thank you for joining us, Joan Garrett.
You're welcome.
We're going to continue with Jim Levine and David Helvarg, who are both in studio with us, and your calls. And let's begin with a caller from Richmond. Kay, you're on. Good morning.
Hi. I'm one of the thousands of Richmond residents who voted to reject a mega casino last November, and I want to tell the developers I knew exactly what I was voting for. I really want to make the point that Richmond's undergoing a renaissance right now. We have progressive leadership in city government. UC Berkeley is looking to expand its research facilities here. New contracts in the Port of Richmond, cutting-edge solar power industries. And the research has clearly shown that casinos would only bring us more crime, prostitution, pawn shops, addiction, lower property values in citywide. So even though Richmond has been downtrodden in the past, the days of developers telling us that beggars can't be choosers are over. I'm really proud of our city, and I know that we can support responsible and sustainable development at Point Mulati without the misery that a mega casino would create.
Let me get a response from Jim Levine.
Yeah, well, the assertions and you know, everybody, we appreciate people's thoughtful responses about it, no matter what their point of view. But the assertions that this would bring more crime are just not supported by the experts. Contra Costa Sheriff basically said in a letter last November that this would not bring more crime. And in fact, the thousands of jobs...
How can you make such a prediction like that?
Well, I mean, basically, you know, the thousands of jobs that will be brought into the community, and these jobs are guaranteed... would reduce unemployment provide hope for the kids that are going through job training right now and come out of job training with no jobs at all. And there are plenty of gambling opportunities today. There are buses that leave Richmond every single day to go up to casinos all over the place. There's a racetrack 3 miles away. It's not like there's a lottery store where you can buy lottery tickets, which is the most regressive form of gambling that the state operates. So it's not like that this project is going to engender a whole new opportunity of gambling. The San Pablo Casino is 4 miles away.
If you can just turn on your computer and gamble online.
Yeah. So I think those just assertions are just not true. And I know that the folks from Citizens for Sustainable Point Mulati have said, well, let's do a sustainable development program like the Presidio. But you guys have to remember that the Presidio got hundreds of millions of dollars of federal support. And Treasure Island is going to have 6,000 housing units. And so, what is the sustainable plan that they've been talking about? And we just haven't really seen it.
I want to actually go to some questions here that listeners are raising via email, and then we'll go to some more online, some more calls. Canolia says, why is the only proposal for developing this land a casino proposal? How about a choice among a variety of options? There was a long public process put into deciding what should be done with this land. It included a mixed-use plan. Whatever happened to that plan?
Well, in the EIR, there are six options being evaluated, and the EIR gives equal footing to all the options and provides a thorough environmental analysis. One of the options is a non-gaming mixed-use plan that has retail and a house housing and a small hotel. And while it would generate some significant tax revenues, it wouldn't generate very many jobs after it's all said and done. In the real world, you cannot finance a hotel and you cannot finance a retail establishment in Richmond right now that would pay for the infrastructure of Point Mulati with competition all around. Emeryville and other cities, you just can't finance them. So it's just not realistic.
Let me get a caller on from Richmond, and that's you, Glenn. You're in support of the casino.
Well, I know I'm a bit of an outlier because I'm a very progressive person. I'm a union activist. I teach at Diablo Valley College, but I frankly don't think Point Mulati's will ever get developed unless we do something more radical. And I think what we need is a compromise of a development, and I think we need to make sure there's no smoking in the casino, but because really that's the most offensive thing in any casino in the state right now. Most of the Indian casinos all out smoking, which makes them just atrocious to venture into unless you smoke. But Point Mulati's is just going to sit there unused, undeveloped for forever. I can just see it now, and it's right next to the refinery. And frankly, I can't imagine it ever becoming a really nice park. I mean, I ride my bike out there all the time.
David Helvark, what do you say?
I would encourage people to visit out there because it has huge potential, and even as is, it's a beautiful place. My neighbor takes her 5-year-old son there all the time. In terms of
denying that, but I think the caller's raising the question. Is it going to be developed into an open space?
I think there's tremendous potential for the development of the village area. We've got a volunteer, a young urban planning group that's volunteered and already laid out how you could roll out a plan over time. You look at places like San Pablo where they do have gambling, or Atlantic City for that matter, and you see the cities have not benefited. These cities are in tremendous economic dire condition. And the potential of Richmond right now, as the earlier caller said, is the greening of Richmond. Our last 500 jobs were in solar. Right now our per capita population has more solar production than any other city in the Bay. Point Mulati could be the gateway for a greener, more productive Richmond.
The essence of that call is could be as opposed to will it get done and can it be done?
Really, I think the mayor and the city council are setting up a citizen committee to look at the future of Point Mulati. I think there are no other large undeveloped headlands right on the bay that have the potential that Point Mulati has. It deserves better than a gambling complex.
You've also got watersheds there, in fact.
Yeah, and we don't want to build 300 units of – or have a private developer put 300 units of multimillion-dollar homes on one of these last watersheds. It should be a public resource, not privatized.
Let me go to Mountain View. Bob, join us. You're on. Hi.
Yeah, you talk about multimillion-dollar homes. This is the environmentalists have been setting aside areas in the Bay Area for decades, and instead of what they've done is created multimillion-dollar homes. So I'm not so hot on the casino footprint. And I'm very much in favor of the recreational opportunities and the development project and homes as part of that. And I'm all in favor of mixed-use area and the smallest possible footprint of a casino is in one of the options. But the environmentalist representative spoke earlier that said the tribe's probably in the last undeveloped bay headland areas that needs to be preserved. Is that besides the Marin Headlands that has been turned into a national park already and besides all the other undeveloped areas that that have been set aside by environmental projects that have taken place over the last 30 years? Or is he referring to just areas that can still be developed that they want to stop so that the houses that exist keep on going up in value over and above other areas of California?
Get a response from you, David.
Yeah, I think the Marin Headlands was a decision that was made in the 70s when there was a plan for massive housing construction at the Headlands. And, you know, there were a lot of plans. Point Reyes is another example where there was a public process where we decided not to put large development there. We decided not to put a nuclear power plant on top of Bodega Head or expand Route 1 like Caltrans wanted to, an eight-lane highway. Californians make choices about how we live in our environment, and overall our economy thrives when we protect our environment.
I want to read some web comments. Johnson writes, in contrast to what we heard from earlier from Michael Derry, why should the Gideville band leapfrog over all the other tribes that surround the Bay Area? Their homeland is in Mendocino County, so that remains a controversial question in some people's minds. Nancy writes, I oppose the casino at Point Mulati. We have enough crime in Richmond, so we don't need a casino in our town. Yes, it might bring jobs, but they're likely to be low-wage jobs. These are not the kind of jobs we need. As a resident of Richmond, I would prefer open space. The citizens of Richmond voted not to have the casino. The discussion should be over. Well, it's not. And here's another caller on the crime topic. And join us, Ryan. You're on the air.
Hi, yes. I just had a comment. I heard the developer state earlier that regarding that the local experts in the area say that there won't be an increase in crime with bringing a casino here. And I want to say that as a person in Richmond, I'm really concerned about the increase of crime a casino brings. If you just a simple Google search on casino studies show that every single time, yes, there's a definite jump in increase in crime in the area. And I just want to see what the developer has to say to respond to that.
All right, seconds left. Jim Levine.
Well, in fact, the city of San Pablo has not experienced that. They're police chief wrote a report last year that basically said the area around the casino was the safest place in town. And basically the things that people are concerned about increased crime due to gambling addiction and so forth, those are the same kind of things that occur with unemployment. When people are desperate, that's when people commit crime. So bringing thousands of jobs to the area is going to help the situation.
Well, next week, again, the Richmond City Council will hold a public hearing on the issue with the environmental impact report. It could end the environmental review phase in the project's development. We will continue, obviously, to monitor this controversy. I want to thank Jim Levine, managing partner of Upstream LLC, David Helvarg, with the Citizens for a Sustainable Point Mulati, and we also spoke with Michael Derry of the Gideville Tribe and Joan Garrett of the Citizens for a Sustainable Point Mulati. Thank you for being a part of this hour of Forum. Another hour ahead, we're going to meet Charles Ferguson, who won an Oscar for the best documentary. When we return on Forum, I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg.